As I wish you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last night as we sang this hymn, numbers flashed through my head. How many of you remember something called the Lutheran hymnal? Just raise your hands. How many of you, in your mind's eye, there are the numbers 1 and 4 swimming around in there? There were for me last night. I said to Philip, I think that was that hymn 144? And he was very kind in correcting me. He said, no, Dave, that was hymn 441. So close. So close. We used to sing that verse 4 always after the offering. That was one of the traditions in my churches and many churches. Would you pray with me as we begin this morning? Would you pray verse 2? It aligns so well with the scriptures this morning. And then verse 4, because of its history, its tradition, and these wise, wise words. Let's pray together. Verse 2, then verse 4. May we, thy law of love, fulfill in thought and deed, each generous impulse from above, obey with joyful speed. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Our scripture around which this generous message is formed, in addition to those words of Paul, where we are informed that we are in partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is already back from hundreds and hundreds of years before that, through the prophet Isaiah. He says, listen to me, all you in distant lands, pay attention, you who are far away. The Lord called me before my birth, from within the womb he called me by my name. He made my words of judgment as sharp as a sword. He has hidden me in the shadow of his hand. I am like a sharp arrow in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, and you will bring me glory. I replied, but my work seems so useless. I have spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose, yet I leave it all in the Lord's hand. I will trust God for my reward. And now the Lord speaks, the one who formed me in my mother's womb to be his servant, who commissioned me to bring back Israel to him. The Lord has honored me, and my God has given me strength. Together we read the bold print. He says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. The Lord, the Redeemer, and Holy One of Israel, says to the one who is despised and rejected by the nations, to the one who is the servant of rulers, kings will stand at attention when you pass by. Princes will also bow low because of the Lord, the faithful one, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Before I show you this video, before we take a look at this together, think about those words from this text about feeling useless. Mrs. Brown kind of revealed her purpose as a teacher. I was a teacher at one time. There are some days when you go home and you just feel like, I just don't know if I did any good at all today. And the joy and revelation of this particular scripture is that God moves us on from that feeling, which has us looking inward at ourselves, to what his purpose is for us in this whole plan of salvation. We have sort of some man on the street interviews that we'd like to share with you now. Let's take a look at this.
This week, we asked people what it means to be generous in purpose. So, what do you think it means to be generous in purpose?
Generous in purpose would be open to what purposes God has for you and willing to step out of your box a little bit and acknowledge those purposes and do them.
I would say it would be intentionally sharing what God has blessed you with those around you, and not just the standard everyday, but kind of going above and beyond. Jesus tells us to go the extra mile, go above and beyond.
How do you think we find our purpose?
We find our purpose by going into scripture and learning about God more to see what he has to say about what we need to do.
How do you think you find your purpose?
I find my purpose by waking up each morning and really thinking about what is ahead of me, what things are that I need to be doing, and just knowing what my job is, what I love doing with my life.
Do you think we only have one purpose our entire lives?
One purpose our entire life? That's an interesting question. I guess in terms of purpose, like spiritual purpose, I kind of think, yeah, there's one spiritual purpose, and it's basically to make sure that we are spreading the gospel and that we are, you know, acting as much as we can in a Christ-like way.
Do you think we have one purpose our whole lives?
Definitely not. We've got multi-purposes.
Multi-purposes. That's good.
I love the fact that Mr. Fiala and Miss Albers, there's a little tension there. They've got two different answers to that same question. We'll come to that in just a moment. But this is the idea of purpose. How many of you are familiar with the audible eye roll? Are you familiar with that? Where it often happens is if you ask someone of a high school age, maybe even just a little bit younger, ask them this. So, what are you going to do after high school? You'll hear the eyeballs rolling in their heads. Why? Because people ask them that all the time. When I taught a class occasionally for Rockford Lutheran High School, I learned. I didn't ask them that question. I would ask them this. I said, so what are the top five colleges that you're thinking about? Just give them some space. Purpose is a bit of a journey. How do you get from here to where it is that God wants you to be? Our son was really good at math, and so in high school what they do is if you're really good at math, they encourage you to be a what? Engineer. Okay? So we got him all enrolled at Valparaiso. I went with him to the June parent student orientation. He went to the mechanical engineering section. I went to the sectional for the parents of those that wanted to be that. We met in the middle somewhere, and this is what my son, going to college, says to me, Dad, I know one thing for sure. What's that? I don't want to be an engineer. And I said, that is awesome. You haven't even been in college 2 hours, and you already have been educated. You now know more than half of the other students that are entering college this year. In the fall, well, late summer, we took him for Kiss and Fly, you know, and we waited three days to call him up and called him and asked him how things were going, what he was doing. He says, oh, I just got back from taking my books back to the bookstore. You took your books back to the bookstore? Yeah. I decided I didn't want to go into computer science either. Way to go! 4 days in college, and you already look how much you've learned so far. So what do you think you want to do? Because I want to go into education. And that's what he did. And that's what he became. He became a teacher, an educator, purpose. It took a little bit of trial and error to narrow that funnel down to what this is potentially my purpose. You heard the young man I think his name is Cooper, and when he was asked the question, how do you know what your purpose is? He said, you look to Scripture. What a great answer that is. And he's right. You can go to Scripture right off the bat with the Ten Commandments. Those are purpose statements. God unrolling for his people Israel. God unrolling for us what our purpose is and what our purpose isn't. Our purpose is to have him as our only God. Our purpose is not to let other gods get in the way. Our purpose is to protect and guard and safekeep life. It is not our purpose to murder, to take life. It is our purpose to, he gives us possessions to guard and keep those. It's not our purpose to take those. So Scripture reveals that to us. But in today's Scripture, it further reveals that God has a purpose for his people. And it is not only the revelation of purpose, but it is a generous revelation of purpose. And that purpose is that his salvation might reach the end of the earth. Reach the end of the earth. I will make you a light to the nations. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Israel, the Hebrew people. I'm going to make you a light to the nations. I want my light to shine to those that are not part of Israel. fact, I'm so generous, says God. I want you to be a light to the world. And there's this invitation into partnership. Kind of sounds like an antidote to me to the idea that the things that I do are useless because they're not when they are aligned with the purpose of God, which is to be that light to the Gentiles. When we recall that we are partners with Jesus Christ in the salvation that God wants to bring to all the world. So, Mr. Fiala, Miss Albers, do you think there's just one purpose? Well, one of them gave this kind of an answer. These are single-purpose tools, right? You may think this is a hammer. You may think this is a screwdriver. The engineers among you are going pounds per square inch and all that kind of stuff already. One purpose. This is a persuader. As is this. This and this have one purpose. To persuade, well, maybe two. To persuade things that are loose to become tight, or to persuade things that are tight to become loose. Single purpose. We have a single purpose. To be a light to the Gentiles. But then we also hear our God call us into partnership with him. And who is he calling into partnership? Each and every one of us who have been connected in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus by our baptism are connected thereby to the purpose of taking that salvation to others. And so, Mr. Fiala is right too. There is a multi-purpose dimension to us and what God is calling us to do as Christians. And in all of that is where we find that generosity of God. He makes you and me partners with Jesus Christ, which means that our labor is not in vain because our labor is his labor. And he did not labor in vain. He won the battle over sin and death and the power of the devil and gives that victory to us. Purpose and generosity. He has connected you to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is partnership in the gospel. He comes this morning and touches you. And he says to you, I touch you and you touch me with my body and with my blood for the forgiveness of your sins so that every time you eat this body and drink this blood, you do show forth the Lord's death, which was for forgiveness for all nations, generously. You show forth that death until he comes again. Joined to God in all of that, we are then inspired like him to be generous in purpose. Because all this is done and circles back to those words from Isaiah this morning that you will be a light to the nations, that my salvation might reach the ends of the world. Generosity calls us out of ourselves into purpose. Generosity is the character of our God. Not keeping it to himself, not even just keeping it to you and me, but opening up his love and his salvation to the whole world. Years ago, there was a song called Open the Eyes of My Heart. How many, you know the song? Okay. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. Next line is, I want to see you. And in the course of this concept of generosity in purpose, in the course of thinking about what it is that God is doing to make Israel a light to the nations and then to the world, hearing how that lines up with those words that we speak at baptism, that great commission, go and make disciples of all nations, right? All nations, partnering with Jesus in that gospel. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that's not enough. I think I want to write some more verses to it. I want it to be something like, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, in such a way that I want them to see you. Open the eyes of my heart that I see how it is that you want me to partner with you in the gospel. Open the eyes of my heart to see the generosity with which you pour out your love to me. And what that does is, for me, and I hope for you, in my purpose, remember the multi-purpose kind of thing? In my purpose, my vocation as a father, it moves me from being a good father, and it moves me to being a generous father. A father generous with the gifts that God has given me as a father, but also generous in letting my light shine in such a way that my children will see the salvation of the Lord, and they will have their children see the salvation of the Lord. It impacts me as a spouse. Lord, open my eyes to help me be a good spouse. And generous in purpose moves me to be generous in my role as that spouse. Not simply for my sake, but for the sake of the one that God has joined to me. For the sake of the one, in case of spouse, in case of children, the ones that God has gifted to us to generously pour out his love in the way that Jesus pours out his love to us. It even impacts the way that we give. You know, you heard us talking about giving and being generous and so forth. But why? Not just for the sake of meeting budget and those kinds of things, but that we might be a light to the Gentiles, showing the salvation of God to the ends of the world. May God bless us and keep us in our purpose. May we be moved by his generous nature, his generous character, to be generous in purpose. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.